We're so thankful that you have joined us this morning for the Word for Life radio ministry. During the month of January, we'll be emphasizing missions around the corner and around the world. There's been a steady decrease in the number of missionaries going to the foreign fields for the last 50 years. This is not because the world has effectively already been evangelized, however. Our churches are simply not responding to meet the needs. I was just checking a few days ago concerning the largest cities of the world. And the first four cities in that list, Tokyo, Jakarta, Seoul, Korea, and Delhi, India, have over 1 billion people in those four cities. Now, of the largest cities in the world, 12 of them out of the top 100 are in the United States of America. And then I read this statistic that said that 84% of the world's population has faith, but a third are Christian. Now, when they say Christians, they're referring to those that would be considered Catholic and Mormons and all other brands of Christianity. You see, half of all the quote-unquote Christians of the world are considered Catholic. 37% of those are part of the Protestant tradition. We have our work cut out for us. And our main focus in America seems to be on church growth alone. And the mission fields are sadly being very much forgotten. Somebody has put it this way. The spiritual health of a church is not revealed by its seating capacity, but by its sending capacity. God wants us, yes, to go around the corner, but also around the world. Now let's talk about doors of opportunity. Revelation 3:8. The Lord Jesus said, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. See, not only are the mission fields growing at a head-spinning rate, so are the numbers of internationals who are moving to America. In fact, the number of Hispanics in America has now reached the largest minority group. There are over 53 million Hispanics in our country, and they have now come to the point that they are 17% of our population. Question, do we speak Spanish? Do we have a ministry that speaks Spanish? Then secondly, the universities are filled with Orientals who have come to America to study, and not just Orientals, but from so many other countries. See, the ease of air travel and email has made missions work much more easily accomplished. In fact, our own church here is sponsoring a trip to China next May to assist our outreach among the university students there with one of our missionaries. Doors of opportunity. But then, whenever you have doors of opportunity, you have doors of opposition. 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Yes, many adversaries. Now, what are some of the adversaries to your church's missions work? Well, I think the first thing is just affluence in America. That makes it more difficult to leave it all and go to another country. I know when my youngest son and his family left the United States and went to Brazil, they were constantly asked, why did you leave America and come to live here? Because all of them wanted to leave there and come to live in America. Affluence. See, it's made us more selfish and less willing to give sacrificially to missionaries going to the fields. In fact, in a recent article, James Reepson, the editor of the Evangelical Missions Quarterly, stated, quote, In private conversations, I've learned that for some agencies, about half of the missionary appointees never make it to the field for lack of support, end of quote. In other words, half of the folks that feel God has called them to the missions work and have actually started on deputation, half of them never make it to the field because they can't raise the support. Because for us, it's more money for self and less for souls. Now, why would there be such a significant number of our young adults in Christian colleges and seminaries and yet a lower number of missionaries being trained? Is God calling fewer to go? Or are fewer answering the commandment? See, we often say, well, good Christians give God 2 weeks a year to go on short-term missions trips. Well, good Mormons give 2 years to do the same short-term missions work. We're not doing anything fantastic because of affluence. Doors of opposition. Then thirdly, there are doors of occupation. It says in Luke 19:13, And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, that's money, and said unto them, Occupy till I come. Now that word occupy means to be busy with the work. So they are doors of occupation. It is, in essence, a military term that makes it very easy for us to understand that God is saying, I want you to take control of the conquered land. Don't just go in and have a battle here or there, but take control of it. And we have to determine to be a leader in commitment. And that starts right here in our own local churches. See, when we got saved, we gave God our soul. In commitment, we need to give God our body. In fact, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 tell us that that's exactly what he wants. Now, when I was the age of 9, I first felt the call of God upon my life in a Moody Founders Week service in Chicago, Illinois. But materialism and peer pressure kind of smothered that call. But finally, when I was in my junior year of college, the death of my brother renewed God's call for my life. Now, the majority of us have substituted convenience for commitment. Have you ever wondered what caused the attitude of the Americans to change from isolation to involvement for World War II? The answer was when the war began to personally affect themselves and their loved ones. When our men and ships were attacked in Pearl Harbor, all of a sudden at that point, we were no longer an isolationist country. All of a sudden, the war was affecting us, our loved ones, our country. And I guess the question comes to my mind, is this the same reason that Christians haven't become involved in the Great Commission? Because it doesn't really affect us or our loved ones. Do our young people sense this and just decide to live for themselves since there's no urgency to live for Christ and the lost? See, commitment to biblical standards of holiness and modesty, that's a big part of it. The Armed Force Academies require their students to submit willingly to discipline, time schedules and dress codes and denial of personal desires. Isn't it amazing that there's a waiting list for these academies? But yet Christian colleges that have discipline standards are scoffed at by many Christian young people. There's a problem there. See, the door of occupation is open, yet many refuse to walk through and take the ground for the Lord. And self-discipline is the source of anything you'll ever accomplish for eternity. Because the word disciple has the root word discipline in it. Now, if our Christian homes don't train our young people to desire to live and dress in a godly way, then our young people are going to have no desire to give up what they consider to be their freedoms that they've enjoyed and go to a Christian college. It's up to us as parents to help our kids begin to desire to live for God. See, there's a present law that says that 4-year-olds are now required to be seated in a child safety seat or a booster seat. Now, the difficulty is, if your child has graduated from an infant seat to a seat belt, he has no desire to go back and be seated in a safety seat. See, freedoms once experienced are so difficult to abstain. And so many times, that's what we are seeing in the lives of our young people. We're giving them too many freedoms in those teenage years, and it's very difficult to come back and say, now you need to become more disciplined in your life. But only a commitment to a higher cause is going to motivate young people to live disciplined and godly lives. Yes, the doors of opportunity are open. And the doors of opposition also exist. Affluence and the drive to stay and enjoy these things, or the drive to dry up our giving so that others may go. See, God wants us to walk through the doors of occupation and commit our lives to live for God. And let me tell you, the rewards of doing that are out of this world. Remember God's word? He says, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Walk through it to the greatest life you'll ever know. And when you do, you will begin to discover that missions is God's heartbeat. As we begin to emphasize missions throughout the course of this month, I want your heart to be open. I want your mind to be teachable. And I want you to begin to pray, Lord, is this something that you have for me personally? Is this something you want me to pray about? Sometimes we say, well, I'll be willing to go, but I really would like to stay. You know, if God knows your heart, He knows that He wants us to be willing to go and ready to go, planning to go, as it were, but making up our minds, okay, Lord, if you don't want me to go, I'll stay, but I'll send others whom you're calling. And I'm convinced that God is calling more than we're actually sending. Could it be because our churches don't understand the principle of faith promise missions giving? I would encourage you throughout the course of this month to actively consider, Lord, what do you want me, what do you want our family to be doing when it comes to missions giving? How much do you want me to give to the purpose of sending the gospel around the world? Is it going to be a greater amount than you've ever given? I'm convinced that that's what the Lord really wants us to be considering for 2014. How about going on a short-term missions trip and allowing your eyes to see what God is doing in various locations around the United States or around the world? And as you see what God is doing, begin to pray, Lord, could you use me? As I said earlier, our youngest son and his family are in São Paulo, Brazil, or just outside of it, have been there for 13 years. They're finishing up their third term of church planting. But David will tell you that it was the 11 different mission trips that he took while he was still a teenager and then a young adult while in college that opened his eyes to missions. Oh, he grew up in a pastor's home, obviously, and he saw what God was doing here stateside. But as he had the opportunity to visit other countries and see what God was doing in other locations, God began to open his heart. God began to use those short-term mission trips to help him to understand, wow, maybe God could use me. And let me encourage you. Consider going on a short-term missions trip this year. Or if you are physically unable to do so, why don't you consider helping to support financially someone else who would like to go on a short-term missions trip? Encourage your pastor and the leaders of your church to plan such a trip, and then encourage maybe young people or young adults to get involved in this. Nothing will impact your missions program any greater than your people actually seeing what God is doing around the world. And as we do that, we're going to see our missions giving grow exponentially. And that is the heart of God. Listen all throughout the month and let God move your heart. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.